We've got two shortish readings today. First of all, 1 Samuel 18, and we're going to start to read from verse 12. Now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and appointed him as his commander of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he was prospering greatly, he dreaded him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, and he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, "Here is my older daughter, Merab. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be a valiant man for me and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "My hand shall not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him." But David said to Saul, "Who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be the king's son-in-law?" So it came about at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Meholathite, for a wife. And then at the end of the chapter, verse 28... When Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, then Saul was even more afraid of David. Thus Saul was David's enemy continually. Then the commanders of the Philistines went out to battle, and it happened as often as they went out that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so his name was highly esteemed. And then, if you'd like to keep your finger there, go over to the New Testament, and we'll read just a short passage from Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 15. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." We have started a series looking at the life of David, but particularly from the scripture which is mentioned in 1 Samuel, that the Lord is looking for a man after his own heart. And we have included, obviously, both sexes in that, and groups of people. God is looking for assemblies. God is looking for churches. God is looking for fellowships of people who have his heart. And so what we've begun to do is to look and really consider, what is it about David's heart that God was pleased with and that God was looking for? So we began just by looking at how God rejected Saul and God rejected David's brothers, but God chose David and anointed him, equipped him to become king. And that obviously is an important factor, that through all the trials and testings that David was going to go through, that actually he had the divine enabling to get through those tests. And then we looked at in 1 Samuel 17, a heart to fight. And then last week Neil spoke to us about the need to respond rightly to jealousy. And obviously, having a heart after God's own heart, we need to respond rightly to the things that come at us. And one of them is jealousy. Now, so far, we've been looking really at the narrative sections in a bit of detail. And really, I just want to pick up one phrase this morning, which is there five times, I think, maybe four times. I haven't counted it recently. But let's look at it in verse 12, where it says verse 14, David was prospering in all his ways. And then a little bit later on, in verse 30, at the very end, it said that as often as they went out, that David behaved himself more wisely. Now, your version may have something different, and that's not because the different versions are trying to sort of say something different. It's just that the word in the Hebrew language has got a number of different sort of angles to it. So your version may have something like that David was successful. The NIV and the Holman Standard Bible puts it like that. The Authorized Version talks about David doing wisely. The NAS talks about David behaved wisely, or David prospered. So really what I want to speak about today is that if we're going to be a people after God's own heart, we need to have a heart to behave wisely. And I'm going to take that as the title. We need to have a heart that will behave wisely. If we do that, there will be success, there will be prospering, there will be blessing. But essentially, our heart needs to be hearts that want to behave in a right kind of way. The Hebrew word, the basic definition of the word, means to be circumspect. And if you don't know what circumspect means, your version may have, in Ephesians 5, which we're going to look at in a minute, living carefully or walking carefully. Somebody put it like this: you mind where you put your big foot. All right? So you are careful how you live. So I want to start really by looking at Ephesians 5, which broadens this thing out, not just for an individual that we've been looking at and will look at in a little bit more detail with David, but to all of God's people. So if you go there, please, to start off with. And then after that, we'll look at two examples in the life of David. And finally, we shall consider how we may behave wisely, some practical matters. So Ephesians chapter 5, it will be good if you just have a look at that, because we're going to just go through it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Verse 14, I beg your pardon. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, or be circumspect. So friends, we need the therefore is there following on from the previous verse. So if we're going to be a people that are circumspect, if we're going to be a people that behave wisely and live carefully, we need to be people that wake up. That's what it says in verse 14. There needs to be an alertness. There needs to be a watchfulness for every one of us. We need to be careful how we live. And there are many times that as believers, if we're not careful, or we throw caution to the wind, that we put our foot in it, or we go somewhere where we shouldn't go, or we behave in a way that is unwise and reap the consequences, unfortunately, accordingly. So if we're going to behave wisely, if we're going to be circumspect, the first thing we need to do is to wake up. Friends, I'm going to touch on the implications of this topic, and obviously each one of the things that I mentioned in a way could be amplified and explored a little more. For example, the Lord said, the Lord Jesus, to the disciples, what I say to you, I say to everybody, watch, be on the alert. And again I say, watch. And part of the word watching means that we need to be awake. It also means that we need to be free from anything that intoxicates us. So friends, it's vital, particularly in the days in which we live, that we are not foolish, but we are people who are alert. Maybe other things will come up to do with that as well as we go through. For example, it says, therefore be careful how you walk. And then specifically it says, not as unwise men, but as wise. And then it says how we can do that. It says, making the most of your time, understanding that the days are evil. And that's really what I've just been talking about. So if we're going to be circumspect, we need to be a people that are wise. Not just a people who know everything up here, but a people who are wise in how we live, understanding that the days in which we live are evil. Do you understand that? Well, one or two of you seem to agree. But you see, actually the lie that comes across to us, I suppose particularly the younger we are, is that the days actually we live are very, very different. We might say that the days are exciting. We might say that the days have great opportunity. Internet, travel, etc. But actually the Lord's verdict is that the days are evil. And we need to agree with what he says. And it also says, make the most of your time. Now this is where I mean, this affects us all right? I'm not coming to you as sort of one who knows the answers or is able to do these things. Somebody once said, I've got one finger pointing at you, I've got three pointing back at me. So I'll admit to you, I've got three fingers pointing back, Simon. You're always very good at making the most of your time, making the most of every opportunity. Stop nodding, some of you. And we all need to learn to do that. It's part of walking circumspectly, behaving wisely. When the opportunity's there, take it. And we'll see exactly that that's what David did in a minute or two. And then it says, verse 17, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, this is another huge subject. But friends, you and I can understand what the will of the Lord is. It is possible to behave wisely because we can know what the will of God is. We can know what the purposes of God are for our lives. The requirement is that we are not to be stupid, that we are to be wise. And you and I can be wise. Yes, you can be wise. How do I know that? Because the scripture tells you how to be wise. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the word beginning means the main thing about it. So if you relate rightly to the Lord, if you have a fear of the Lord, it's as if the Lord opens the door to you and says, wisdom is all yours. So these are some of the things that are involved in behaving wisely. And of course, if you're going to say, well, I don't know, how can I understand what the will of the Lord is? How can I be wise? How can I wake up? The Lord then goes on to say in verse 18, don't get drunk with wine, which is dissipation. There's the getting free from intoxicants. Your problem may not be the drink. Your problem may be the internet or something else. Don't get intoxicated so that your senses are dulled, is really what it's saying. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. That is the way to walk circumspectly. Are you filled with the Spirit? Well, you don't have to answer me, but the thing is, the question is not have you been filled, but are you being filled? That it's a present tense. We need to go on drawing from the Lord, being filled with the Spirit. I'm sure that David understood that. The Spirit of God had come upon him when God chose him initially. The Spirit of God was going to come on him later to anoint him for kingship when he was about 30 years old. In the meantime, I'm sure that he needed that understanding, that he needed to be equipped by the Lord the whole time. So that's the New Testament, a command to every believer. All right. So this is not just for the likes of any of you who want to be a David, who want or whom God is choosing or preparing to be a leader of God's people, a shepherd of God's people. This is for every believer. Walk circumspectly, which is why we're looking at it this morning. So what about David's example? Well, we're going to look at 1 Samuel 18 in a minute, but there's another testimony that he gives, another example that he gives in a psalm. Turn to Psalm 101, please. Psalm 101. Psalm 101. I will sing of mercy and judgment, says David. Unto you, O Lord, will I sing. And then he says this, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. And this is exactly the same phrase or the same word for David prospered, or David was successful, or David did wisely, that we read about in 1 Samuel 18. Would you notice this little phrase here? He says, first of all, I will behave myself wisely. It's to do with our behaviour. Wisdom is not to do with knowledge, it's to do with our behaviour. And the Lord is interested. He watches to see how we behave, how we react, what we say, how we conduct ourselves in every situation. It's the first thing to notice, please. The second thing is it says, I will behave myself wisely. You have a choice to make. You can make it. Indeed, you must make it. We're living in an age when the world, the spirit of the age, sort of, it's easy to let it carry us along with it. And we make decisions by default. We think, well, yes, all right, this is rather attractive, I'll just go with the flow. And here's David saying, I will behave myself wisely. Now, friends, he could have said, I will do all sorts of things. But he realised the absolute importance of this. And so he says, having said, I'll sing to the Lord in mercy and judgment, he says, I will behave myself wisely. Make that decision. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Well, he says that a little bit later on as well. It's to do not with sinless perfection, if you understand. It's not that you are faultless. If you look at 1 Samuel 19 and 20, there are at least two instances when I think David made a misjudgment. He did not behave himself wisely. But what he is saying here is, I will behave myself in such a way where there is integrity, uprightness, completeness. That's essentially the meaning of the word, really. And then he says, oh, when will you come to me? It's a slightly strange question. What he's really saying is, Lord, I want your presence with me more than anything else. Now, did you notice when we read 1 Samuel 18, it says that David behaved himself wisely and the Lord was with him. So one of the results of behaving wisely is that God can't keep himself away from you. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And do you have a heart for that? Because really, if I can put it on its head and say, how much do you have a heart for the Lord to be with you? That's the question. Does it bother you if the Lord isn't with you? Does it bother you if you don't behave wisely, that actually the Lord may just withdraw himself from you? I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to? Well, how can you know that the Lord is with you? Or what is the way through to knowing that the Lord is with you? Well, we touched on this, I think, a few weeks ago. But let me just give you one little key. And it's a big key, really. It's an important key. To King Asa, the Lord said this. Hear, O Asa, and all Israel. So it wasn't just to him, it was to all of God's people. The Lord is with you while you are with him. So that's the key. If you seek the Lord, he will be found in you. But if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. So to have a heart that's going to behave wisely is really to have a heart that wants to be with the Lord. If you want to be on his side, if you want to work with him, then God will begin to work with you. If you want to behave wisely and all that that involves, then God will be with you. It's really saying you need to have a heart that values the presence of the Lord and his company more than anything else. Friends, this affects us all, really, doesn't it? Whether we're the likes of Dawn and Steve thinking of going on the mission field or wherever, we need to have the Lord with us. And it was striking. Did you notice when we were looking at the at how the Lord chose David? And one of the things that the Lord, how the Lord prepared him was he put him in the court of King Saul. And Saul's servant said, now Saul, what you need is a man who is intelligent, who is, now this is a Wyatt paraphrase, who's witty, charming, good looking, who's very musical, David was, and the Lord is with him. Friends, if David had gone simply as a musician, as a harp player, or as a man of intelligence, or as a man of ability, but if God was not with him, then the affliction that God allowed to come to King Saul wouldn't have been dealt with. It was the fact that the Lord was with him that was the important thing. And if we behave ourselves wisely, indeed the Lord will be with us. And then it goes on to say, verse 2, we must move on or we won't get through. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I don't know about you, I find that tremendously challenging. Because we can behave wisely in somebody else's house, can't we? I mean, you know, if you get invited out for a meal, you take a box of chocolates or if you take some flowers or whatever, and you know, or if you're entertained or if you're welcome, you know, most of us, I trust, we know how to behave. It's part of being human, part of growing up, it's vital that we learn how to behave wisely. It's part of, we need to learn how to behave wisely in what we say or we don't say. There is a proverb that actually, I think it's Proverbs 21 verse 12. Don't turn to it, but I'll bring it in now. It says this. The righteous... No, it doesn't. I've got a wrong reference there, but it talks about he who refrains his lips is wise. So, you know, if you do go to somebody else's house, it's not the very wisest thing to open your mouth and to start holding forth about this, that and the other. You know, and it's part of wisdom is learning to when to refrain. And so I just get the feeling here that if I open my mouth a bit too much, something's going to happen. I'm going to get a reaction. So we need to learn to refrain our lips. Now, yes, how did I get onto that? Yes, because that's fine in somebody else's house. But what about your own house? What about those that you live with? What about if you don't live with anybody else? Maybe you're just living on your own. But do you behave wisely? Here's David saying, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. What else does it involve? Verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. So something we can do on our own, set a wicked thing before our eyes. David is engaging his will and saying, I'm not going to set any wicked thing before my eyes. Please notice he's not saying, I will stop myself looking at certain things. There are certain things we can't help but look at. Well, you know, if something comes up on the television screen or the daily paper or whatever it is, you know, there are certain times we cannot help certain things. But the question is, will you set it before your eyes? And how do you respond when something does come in front of you? In the margin it says, I will set no thing of Belial, wicked thing. You sometimes come across this phrase in both Old and New Testaments. A thing of Belial, it could be a deity, an idol, but essentially the word means worthless or reckless or lawless. And it's translated as ungodly and evil and wicked, as it is here. So here's really, here's David saying, I'm not going to set anything that is wicked or lawless or rebellious or reckless or worthless. I'm not going to set these things in front of me. Friends, this is to do with what you value, really. Do you esteem something highly that is intrinsically worthless and rebellious and reckless and lawless? And David's saying, I won't do that. What else does it involve? I hate the work of those who turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Behaving wisely means not letting certain things cling to us. Sometimes they touch us, but it's a question of not letting them cling to us. A froward heart, a perverse heart, verse 4, shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. And when he says, I will walk within my house, house has the picture as well in the New Testament of our lives, of our abode, because the Lord, our lives are God's house. Our hearts are God's temple, God's house. So he says here, I will not know a wicked person. Whoever privily slanders his neighbour. He's really saying, I don't want any perverseness or slander to be in my heart. But instead, I want to value faithfulness and I want to value perfection. For which read integrity and uprightness. So friends, there's anyway some thoughts from that particular psalm. But you see how David had had a heart that was going to behave wisely. Now please go back to 1 Samuel 18 and we'll just look at that in a little bit more detail before we consider the question of how we can walk wisely. Verse 12, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and had departed from Saul. Because David was behaving wisely, Saul noticed it. Friends, if you behave wisely, others will soon start to recognise it. Others see it, whether God is with you or not. Verse verse 12, that was, and chapter, you can read about that in chapter 16, verse 18 as well. Verse 17, I didn't read the narrative here, but let's just touch on a little bit. You see, what happens is that Saul says to David he's going to give him Merab to be his wife, basically because he wants the Philistines to defeat him and to kill him rather than his own hand to be with him. So, I don't know about you, but I think David could have thought, hi, yes, this is a real opportunity for me to have a position here, not just as the king's, and not just as the master of the king's music, as the king's official harp player, but as somebody who is a bit higher up in the kingdom and in the throne. David behaving wisely, there is no sense here that he was grasping for position. Friends, when you have an opportunity and you get an offer, you know, why don't you marry this girl? Why don't you have this offer of promotion? Is your immediate reaction, I'm not saying it's never wrong to marry the girl or to have a promotion, I'm not saying that, but is your immediate reaction to grasp for something? Well, David doesn't do that. He behaves wisely. Because he recognises actually that the whole thing is a snare. Well, maybe he doesn't recognise it, but that's what it is. And so the man or woman who behaves wisely is the person who's able to avoid the schemes and the snares, not so much of human beings, but certainly of principalities and powers. We wrestle against them, and we have to learn to stand against the wiles of the devil and all his schemes and all his tricks. And friends, if we behave unwisely, he's going to be able to trip us up. If you behave wisely, you are absolutely safe. The enemy need not trip you up. So he doesn't grasp for position, he avoids the schemes. Verse 19, I don't know about this, but I don't know about your reaction when I read this, but it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel the Meholathite. So, I mean, as far as I can tell, they got engaged, the wedding date was set, and just sort of, you know, about a week beforehand, Saul says, sorry, mate, I'm going to give her to somebody else. Now, how would you have reacted? Well, David's reaction, we don't know what it was. But what I'm saying is he seems to be unfazed. He doesn't become bitter. He doesn't become resentful. He doesn't go off in a huff. I would think he's learned to walk carefully. And so if this was something that the Lord was giving him, he could say along with Job, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How do you react when you're disappointed? You know, something that is promised to you is then taken away from you. Friends, these things are not easy to handle. I'm aware of that. But it's important that we act rightly. And then, verse 23, moving on, Saul thinks that he actually would like David to be the king's son-in-law, so he tries again, this time with Michal. And you'd have thought that David, verse 20 and 21, actually thought, right, well, maybe I didn't get the first girl, but the second one, I got another opportunity. And so he could have again seized the opportunity for a second time, but he doesn't. Why? Because he has a right view of himself. He says, who am I? I'm but a poor man. Now friends, this is not just a false humility. This is David's recognition of who he is. He understood his position. He understood himself. We need to see ourselves as the Lord sees us. It's absolutely vital. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you and I do not have a right view of ourselves, if we actually think that we're entitled to a little bit more than we have, we start, we close the door, really. But God notices, God sees the man or woman who behaves in such a way that they're not taking anything as their right. He had a right view of himself. Verse 27, he redeemed the time, to quote the words of Ephesians 5. Because actually, when he understood actually that the only dowry that was required was that a certain number of Philistines should get killed, David goes for it. So he doesn't sit around and wait. The opportunity is there, the right thing to do, and he does it straight away. And verse 29. What is the result of, what are the other kind of results of walking wisely or behaving wisely? Is that he has increased opposition. And friends, we are going to get, if we as a church here at Bethel, and if you don't come to us, maybe your own church for fellowship, or you know, your own life as an individual, if you're going to be a man like David after God's own heart and behave wisely, you are going to get increasing opposition, as well as, or perhaps indeed even because of, the fact that others recognise it. But you're also going to get, verse 30, David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. And God knows how to honour those who honour him and put him first. Well, to finish off with, how are we to behave wisely? Just some practical things, moving away now from 1 Samuel 18. And as I said to you, you can look at Samuel chapter 19 and chapter 20 and see how else David behaved. Sometimes I suggest to you on two occasions why I think he actually didn't judge things rightly. Not that I'm pointing the finger at all, it's the three fingers pointing back to me again principle. But how are we to behave wisely? Well, here are just three things to finish off with. Proverbs 19, verse 4, don't turn to it, I will give it to you. It says this: a prudent wife is from the Lord. You know, so what? Well, it's the Lord who gives a prudent wife, and the word for prudent is exactly the same, somebody who behaves wisely. Blessed are you, chaps, if you have a prudent wife. And if you're not married, pray for a prudent wife. But it's from the Lord. But friends, what about the bride of Christ? The principle here is that the Lord's bride, the Lord is looking for a bride who is going to behave wisely. And it comes from the Lord. That's the principle. So really what I'm saying to you is, if you're saying, how can I live in this kind of a way more? Only God can give it to you. Only God can help you to do it. So ask the Lord to make you prudent. Ask the Lord to make you a prudent wife. Ask the Lord to make you a prudent husband. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. How will the Lord make you behave wisely? Joshua 1 and verse 7 reads like this: only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper, that you may do wisely. There it is, wherever you go. So in order that you may do wisely, Moses commands Joshua, be strong and courageous. And friends, if we're going to be like this, we are going to need divine strength and we're going to need courage. If I can underline it, it will not happen by a kind of lackadaisical attitude that somehow says, well, I'll just hope that it'll somehow come. You need to engage your will and you need to engage your heart. Be strong and courageous. And friends, you may be sitting there listening and saying, this is too hard, I can't do it. Joshua was like that. He had a problem with fear. He had a problem with lack of strength. I forget how many times, at least three if I remember rightly, Moses says to him, Joshua, be strong. Or to use a paraphrase again, you can do it. I'm with you. The Lord is with you, I should say. And then he goes on to say, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. How do you view the Bible? Can I ask you? It's a bit of a digression, but it's just occurred to me and I feel I should bring it. How do you view the scriptures? Some people would translate it like this: this book of blessings shall not depart out of your mouth. This book of promises shall not depart out of your mouth. Now the Bible is full of promises of blessing. We've read one of them in Isaiah 58. This book of challenges. But actually here, and I know it's got a particular reference to the first five books, of course I understand that, but the principle here is this book of the law, this book of instruction. The Bible is there as a book to instruct us. Do you meditate on God's instruction? It's really what the words say. Or is your attitude to the Bible that you're just going to take the good bits and you don't want to learn? Friends, God wants us to learn. So he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. What do you mean, Moses? He says, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Chew on it. Ponder it. Consider it. Pray about it. Mull it over. Where appropriate, dig around a bit in a concordance or a book that may be of help. Don't dig around in a book that won't be helpful. But consider it. Mull it over. Ponder it. Day and night. Not 24 hours a day non-stop, but continually. Continually. I would say at least once a day. And when you've perhaps had a set time of meditating in the scripture, go with it. I find it's the best thing to do if I'm sleepless. If I can't sleep, I just let the word of God revolve around my mind. I'm going to be asleep in no time. I recommend it highly. But when you're doing the washing up or when you're whatever, just ponder the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe. Says the Lord good. He says, in order, do this in order that you may be able to do everything that's written in it. In order that you can take the instruction and apply it to your own life. That's what he's saying. Then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You will do wisely. You will behave wisely. Friends, there is the promise, and there is the way to make that promise yours. If you ponder the word of God and be strong and be courageous. The third thing, and I think we'll probably finish with this, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 21. The third principle, Jeremiah 10 and verse 21. How tragic that the situation in Israel had got to this particular place where those who lead the people, they're called pastors or shepherds, leaders, rulers. Chapter 10 and verse 21, this is what it says about them. For the pastors have become brutish. Now that's what it says in the King James language. Your version may say they become stupid. This is Ephesians 5. They haven't taken on board what Ephesians 5 says. Instead, they become fools. The pastors have become fools. They have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they will not prosper. And friends, it's the same principle for every one of us. If you want to prosper, you need to seek the Lord and you need to learn to be wise. Well, there you have it. David's example to us in 1 Samuel 18 and in Psalm 101. He's not there just to be a role model. He's there to instruct us. The scriptures are there for our instruction, for our learning. And the command is there in Ephesians 5. See then that you walk circumspectly. And then you will have success. Then you will do wisely. If you do that, Proverbs 14:35 says you will know the king's favour. Proverbs 16 verse 20 says you will know good. And Daniel 12 verse 3 says you will shine in eternity. And probably now as well. Let's pray. Thank you.